Good morning. This is Pam Bedore, Associate Professor from the University of Connecticut, and your guide to the great courses. And you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I hope you've done your spring break homework, because it's time to discuss MT Anderson's feed. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for April 3rd, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information.
Passover ends when? The 7th?
Yeah, that is so Passover Saturday. Ends on Saturday. So, okay. So happy Passover to all of you that are celebrating Passover. Happy Easter to those of you who celebrated Easter last week. And to our Orthodox friends who are going to celebrate it this week.
That's right. We do it all, Steve. We do it all.
I celebrate it all. Whatever. Give me a celebration. I'll take it.
Hey, there's always food involved. We know it's good.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I finally got a chance to see Murder on the Orient Express. This was the 2017 remake directed by one of my favorite directors in the world, Kenneth Branagh.
Well, that's one of the real problems about the holidays is they bring out like 1,000 movies all at once. And I've missed this one too. I want to see this. Tell me about it.
Cinematography is gorgeous on this film. I was sitting in my house on my couch watching on my lovely TV, and I was just mesmerized by the images that they were able to create with this film. Every picture is lit in such a beautiful way. The colors are wonderful. The perspectives that when they first board the train, the camera does not board the train with them. The camera walks along the side of the train while the characters are walking through the train. And we're seeing the action from the perspective of somebody who's not on the train. Brilliant filmmaking.
Wonderful, wonderful. I want to see this.
You should see this one.
And this has a lot of great actors in this film.
All star cast is putting it mildly. Daisy Ridley is wonderful. She doesn't just have to be.
Did she bring her lightsaber?
I'm sure she had it with her.
Okay.
A Star Wars thing.
Okay.
Derek Jacobi and Kenneth Branagh, anytime that they are on camera together, I love watching the two of them work together.
He also directed this, right?
Yes, Kenneth Branagh is the director of this film.
Okay.
And he gave himself the best part. He played Hercule Poirot.
Look at this. That was French for all your listeners out there.
No, it's Belgian.
Oh, it's Belgian. I'm sorry. It's Belgian.
Belgian French, but yeah. That's
right. Not a waffle in the place.
One of my favorite lines of this story is he's in the opening scene, Hercule Poirot apologizes for being Belgian. It is laugh out loud funny. Yes, Kenneth Branagh gave himself all the best lines. He is the star of this movie, and it's amazing what they were able to do.
So you recommend this movie?
Oh, yes. Now, the critics have said that they didn't like it very much. There's some mixed reviews on this one. Most of the bad reviews say, hey, this is not nearly as good as the original 1974 version. Most of the time, I agree that a remake of a movie pales in comparison to the original. But in this case, I never saw the original, so I think that this is a really good movie. The story is an Agatha Christie story. You can't really mess up an Agatha Christie story as long as you stick to it. And I really recommend this one.
Great, great. I look forward to seeing it.
You got to see one of the Oscar winners of 2017. That's I, Tanya.
Yeah, sweep the leg, Steve.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg. That was a bad joke. I just wanted to let that out. This was really good. First of all, it stars Margot Robbie, who is one of my favorites right now.
Wonderful.
She's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story of basically the Tonya Harding story. If you're not familiar with Tonya Harding, she was a figure skater, probably at the highest level. And her rival, which wasn't a real rival because we learned that they were friends at one time, was Nancy Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Kerrigan was the All-America girl. And Tonya Harding was a much more humble beginning, certainly a very modest, very poor person. And that's exactly what we wanted to know. She was a very poor person who got involved in figure skating because she just had natural athletic ability. She was incredibly gifted very early in life. Her mother was a very abusive, domineering person, and basically struggled to get her daughter on the ice, but her daughter was very successful. And that kind of plays out later on because she was able to perform some leaps and tricks that many people couldn't do. She was able to land that, but that was for strength. And she was a brutally strong skater. She didn't really have the grace that a kid would have because mom was not going to listen to a coach who said something like, well, she needs some training. She needs some grace training and stuff like that. She eventually made it to the Olympic team. And the story revolves around sort of her life. And this was based on interviews with her mom, Tonya Harding's mom, interviews with Tonya Harding, with Jeff Galuli, and also with the coach. And at the end of the movie, when they're rolling the credits, you get to see some of the film of the interviews. And boy, the actors did a great job portraying these people. Now, on some level, this is kind of a train wreck. This is exactly like Black Friday. You're looking at, you know, what do we have on Black Friday? We have the newscast comes out to Walmart, and they got everybody, you know, getting ready to come in because there's going to be a big sale on something. And what do they want to see? They want to see a bunch of people who want to experience the American dream, who have very modest means, go in and sort of battle it out over a big screen television. And somehow we're going to find that as entertainment.
The Jerry Springer effect, where we're seeing these people who are desperate in some situations and just not being able to work together.
Well, it's they just want to experience the American dream, and that big screen television or whatever it is that they say they want. They normally they don't have it available to them. It's part of their life, and instead of just recognizing, you know, that this it's sad. Not that they fought over it. It's sad that they all don't have it yet. For Tonya Harding, they just don't have the skill. And when I say skill, they just haven't been trained on how to interact with each other in a way. There's interactions between mom and the daughter that are just really, really mean. And Jeff Galuli, according to this, beat the mess out of her. I mean, mom was hitting her. Jeff Galuli was abusing her. And yet she was still able to perform at such a high level. And once again, going back to the credits, you get to see why she was such a special skater. If what this comes out, if it's true, I'm truly sorry for her because she was a special skater who, like I said, didn't have grace, but had the strength to just barrel her way through these things. So I really enjoyed it. I would say probably 75 out of 100.
And Allison Janney won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for the role of Tonya Harding's mom in this.
Okay.
And she was pretty special in portraying that mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just meanness.
Yeah.
Meanness.
Just general mean. It's frightening as a teacher to think about what some of the situations are,
Steve,
in some of these families. Yeah,
think of when the parents come in to talk to you, and sometimes you're sitting there talking to parents and everything's fine, but other times you're talking to parents, you're going, boy, the skill set of emotionally on how to communicate with people, to work with people, it just, you know, needs improvement would be the with the grade you'd probably give. And it's, you know, it's just sad that people fall through the cracks like that.
That's it. Opening this week, we've got some maybe not Oscar-winning movies, but some really fun titles this week.
Yeah, the deal. These are the pre-blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
So this looks like we've got some good ones.
The first one is called Blockers. This is the story of three parents who are trying to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night.
All right, so think of like American Pie, but not from the kids' point of view.
From the parents.
But the parents' point of view. And very much like Game Night. Don't go and watch the previews. Just know it's a shocking, funny comedy.
Because probably all the funny stuff is in the trailer, yeah.
Yes, and yeah, it probably is. And I think I hit it right there. It's American Pie, yeah, but not from the parents' point of view, as they go and try to prevent everything from happening.
This features John Cena, wrestler, actor John Cena is one of the dads, and Leslie Mann is one of the moms. I look forward to seeing this one.
This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's time to grab your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend and head out.
Yeah. The other one's called A Quiet Place. This is a creepy horror movie written, directed, and starring John Krasinski and featuring Emily Blunt.
He's that guy from The Office.
Yes.
But anyway, this looks really good. Everybody's got to be quiet.
Everybody has to be completely quiet because the monsters in the woods will attack at any kind of sound at all.
I look forward to seeing this. This looks really good.
It certainly looks like a stressful kind of movie to me. There is a movie called The Miracle Season. This is about...
This is our teen movie of the week,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, this is for the one for your teenage daughters. There's no doubt about that. This is the tragic death of a star volleyball player, and this is a real-life story of how the team manages after this tragic moment in their lives.
And this stars Helen Hunt.
Yes.
And she's the coach.
Yes.
But then again, the stars of this are all the kids playing volleyball.
I hope there's no twisters in this movie.
Exactly.
That's all I can think of with Helen Hunt. I know that Mad About You is coming back, but...
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Good Lord. All right. Well, everyone will enjoy that.
That's the
Well, between
season.
That, we've got this this wonderful movie. I think this is a good, probably, a teen movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go see it. See, get some emotions in you.
Book it.
It brings us to our book it, our book of the week, and as we have told you for the last month, I hope you've done your homework, it is time to discuss Feed by M.T. Anderson.
If you now open your novel, we shall discuss it from page one.
Beginning on page one.
Well, the first thing we should probably say is thank you for all the people who out there who've read this book. Mm-hmm. And we also want to thank Pamela Badur, who did our introduction today.
Yes.
She's the one who suggested this book in her great courses, the Great Utopian and Dystopian class.
This is definitely a utopia that becomes a dystopia when we look at it from a certain perspective, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a young adult book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important to also recognize. And for you parents who read this, or after you're listening to us, you want to read this. Most of you are not reading anyway. This is a good book to kind of get started.
It is definitely a book that talks about what we're doing today. It's definitely a science fiction future that we can see happening in the very near future with what we're doing with all of our connections with the internet.
So the book starts off with sort of a spring break type of event. The kids, instead of heading over to the beach or something like that, they all jump in the rocket ship. They're going to the moon, Steve.
Yep.
And they're talking to each other. And the first thing you recognize is also all their, the way of communicating, their words that you're trying to grab out. What are they really saying?
Yeah, they have slightly different jargon than we have here in the 21st century. Some of their words are different. And you find out very quickly, you figure out what they're talking about. I think that that's a message about how kids communicate versus how parents communicate. We have different words. And sometimes these kids come up with these extra words and we have to figure out what they're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, think of all the jazz words that ended up making it into our lexicon right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not any different. And, you know, M.T. Anderson had to make this up. What would this future group look like? Or is it the future? Is it the future, Steve?
Oh, yeah. It's the future.
It's the future.
We can't get to the moon yet.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the themes.
Oh, there's so many great themes in here. There's so many messages about what we are doing today, what we do with the feed of information from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and what our kids are doing with those.
Well, they're all bored, Steve.
They're bored.
They're heading to the moon, and so boring.
It's so boring.
I'm so glad we have our friends, and we're at the moon, and it's so quiet up there.
Oh, man, the moon. Can't we just stay at home and look at Facebook instead of going to the moon? This is what I hear from my teenager.
And so they have their phone and they're streaming a video or whatever they're doing, but in the feed, in mm-hmm. the in this, it's in your mind. Basically, it's you're just plugged in.
Yeah.
And you're bombarded constantly.
Some of it's advertisements, different things that are just shouting in your brain. And
Come do this.
And in the audiobook, where that's presented is brilliant, where a totally different actor comes on and shouts these messages, maybe with music and all sorts of things, bombarding us with this information.
And when you hear it, then you recognize just how distracting it is, because mm-hmm. it's exactly what ends up happening through your phone. Or through your computer, or whatever you're working with, that your life is so distracted with you thinking that somehow you can multitask,
mm-hmm.
and everyone thinks that they're the multitasker. I can do three things at once. No, you can't.
You really can't. No matter how much you think you can multitask, you really can't. If you're doing three things, you are doing three things poorly. If you focus on one thing, you are going to accomplish more.
You know what you can do? You can mow the lawn and listen to an audiobook or a podcast. But you could not study like serious literature.
Correct.
You couldn't study serious science and do that. You need sort of mindless, just jibby-jab, you know, stuff like that.
Well,
or, you know, like a podcast like ours.
This is Mindless Jibby-Jab. That is the new title of this show.
That'll be our next version.
The idea of when you are listening to words like a podcast and trying to do that while also listening to other words, that's impossible. You cannot listen to two conversations at the same time. It's maybe possible to focus on words in your head as a podcast while you're doing the dishes, for instance.
Sure.
Or mowing the lawn. But you certainly can't do that while you're watching TV.
Absolutely not.
That does not work.
You can't read the book and watch television. It's just the mind just can't take that all in.
Right.
And somehow we can think we can drive the car, eat a burger, and
change the radio station.
And it creates all sorts of challenges.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about targeting advertising, because you get that all through there.
We have so much targeted advertising right now with our likes and dislikes on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. When these companies see who we are, get this conglomeration of you are a middle-aged white male, therefore you will probably want to buy this product and not that product, we get bombarded by that advertising. And in feed, that is so blatant.
And very much like Minority Report, you kind of walk through something and all of a sudden, hey, Steve, wouldn't you like to have a cold beverage?
Have you been to Walmart where the little TVs turn on
yes.
when you walk by them and they're shouting advertising at you?
Well, they're just shouting advertising. It's not necessarily to you.
Correct.
But you know what? Through your phone,
uh-huh.
you can all of a sudden, well, Steve likes to have this. And all of a sudden it says, Steve, wouldn't you like to have this?
Because
that's ultimate.
Ultimately, the stores could be monitoring whose phones are in that building.
Well, that's part of the agreement, by the way, when you walk uh-huh. through the department store, is that they are tracking you.
Uh-huh.
They're watching where you're walking.
And if you stand at a certain area longer than any other area, they are tracking that fact, and they can therefore advertise to you.
Now, our first big event that ends up happening is not heading to the moon. It's that you're constantly bombarded with this stuff, and then all of a sudden there is a hacking event.
Yeah, there's an attacker who hacks into the feed in the brains of these young people and makes them disconnected from this feed of information.
And they're off to the hospital.
And they go off to the hospital because this feed is so embedded into the brains of these young people that they are in medical danger if this feed stops working.
In fact, that's part of what we end up learning, that we have our kids that we go up to the moon with who have been connected since birth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're part of the middle class, the everyday Joes. And then we have a person that we're going to run into who wasn't connected from birth, and that creates another set of challenges.
Right. Her family decided that they don't want to be a part of this feed. They don't have the same access to information. But at some point in her life, the parents decided that she's at a disadvantage if she doesn't have the information that everybody else has. So they give her this feed, and that's where her problems have started with this hacker.
All right. So we're going to come back to that. Let's talk a little bit about the addictions that we find in this entire book.
This conversation is all about addiction. We are addicted to technology in a lot of ways, and our kids are addicted to technology in ways that are frightening.
Well, between your television being smartly connected,
mm-hmm.
Using a service like your Xbox or something like that, think about your phone that's connected to you all the time. If you have a tablet or a computer that you are constantly getting your tech addiction, mm-hmm. you know, your watch or whatever. And then at some point, think about when we first discovered the internet a number of years ago, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you go and you start looking up all this stuff. And so we talked about WKRP coming back last week and we uh-huh. go, oh, we find the clip with the about Thanksgiving with the turkeys.
Right.
Or you think about something you liked as a kid and you go, oh, I remember this scene.
The nostalgia factor is out there.
You put together the GIFs or GIFs. Anyway, put together them. You're basically putting all this stuff together. And once you're finished with that, at that point, you're going, oh, the Russians had television too. Germans uh-huh. had television. And isn't this odd? And all of a sudden, we get a whole new group of it. But now, the internet's been around for a while. You've gone through all that. Your fascination with the novelty of those things are there, but you're still there.
You're still looking at the feed. Every day, you're still wondering what's happening in the world and checking the feed.
Exactly.
Here we are, 21st century.
So we have a lot of connections with when we're working through our feed, our internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, when you brought up Facebook when it first came out, you found all your high school buddies, and all of a sudden now you're friends. I pretty much have, I would say, the majority of my senior class I'm friends with on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go find your college buddies, you know, your fraternity brothers or your friends that you went to school with. You know, we met JD.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people that you had a connection with that are not in your immediate area, your neighborhood, or anything like that.
Geography does not matter to the internet. I can still have personal connections with them. But the question is it really a personal connection when it's through the feed? Is there something different about being in the car, being at the restaurant with those people, compared to talking, quote-unquote, with them on Facebook?
Well, I think there is. And mm-hmm. we have to know what it is. You have to be plugged in just enough.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, I went out and in 2007, 2008, when the market went down as much as it did, I hated what I was reading for my industry. And so I went out and reconnected to professors. So, and what was really nice about professors, and professors have a wonderful way, they have a way of articulating something. And I cannot stress how important that was to me, because it allowed me to sit down and rethink and to think logically about it. It wasn't going to be some sales funnel I'm going down mm-hmm. to get to something. I was logically challenging the premises I was working in. So that is a Benny, but the Benny goes away if I spent every waking moment connected to it. And it just became a you know, it's just a feed of feed. I mean, it just, there's nothing yep. to it.
The echo chamber.
If you watched, watching a football game on Sundays is wonderful. You know, the Bears are on, you're watching the Bears because that's our local team. But if you're watching every game, we're already seeing what's happening. Mm-hmm. Ratings are dropping.
Yeah.
Okay. All of a sudden, the specialness of your team goes away.
The specialness of the thing, if you always have access to it, the specialness goes away. I think about high school reunions. I haven't been to a high school reunion in 15 years because I have connection to those people any minute of any day. I can go message those people through the feed anytime. The specialness of gathering together at some bar somewhere is somehow degraded by that.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's still seeing someone live is
it's
important.
Still different. It is still a difference. The idea, the majority, let me start over. The thing that strikes me the most about the feed is the thing that I talk about all the time, perspective. It's all about looking at things from different angles. As a 16-year-old, the feed sounds like a great idea. I think my son would love the idea of an implant that had all of the information.
Sure. Instead of having to carry around all this stuff, it just kind of popped in your head.
But from our perspective, as a middle-aged man who lived through an era before the World Wide Web, we might see the dangers of some of these things. And that's what M.T. Anderson points out a lot.
Well, the girl that we were mentioning,
mm-hmm.
when she was disconnected from the feed, she didn't really recover from it.
Right.
And so that's going to be part of the story that's coming down. But for our gentleman, who is our Luke Skywalker of the book.
The protagonist, yeah.
Yes. He that was his first time ever being disconnected from yeah. the feed. And he really got, at that point where things are really, really fast all the time with the feed, Everything slowed to a crawl.
This was a good third of the book where he is not connected to the feed, and he is seeing things from that perspective, seeing nature, understanding the beauty of this life.
Well, in many ways, it shows the power of taking your summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Steve and his family head off to the beach or head over to the lake or something, and all of a sudden you've disconnected from television, you've mm-hmm. disconnected from the internet. And all of a sudden you realize, you know, the ocean's out there.
Yeah.
And everything's really slow.
Yeah.
And you get up a little bit late. And all of a sudden...
And the scale of things. Think about the scale of things. The ocean is so huge.
Sure.
But when we are standing near it, we feel so small. That sense of scale is something that you can only get by experiencing it.
Sure. And at that point, you're really just rethinking things. Finding what's important to your life,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reason why you get away.
Yep,
is all of a sudden all those things you thought were important just get flushed away.
Uh-huh.
To all of a sudden you prioritize, this is what I value, and this is what I'm going to work towards. That's why I think you also see a lot of changes on people when they go away and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked how this time worked for him. Because the first part of the book is real, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
with all those messages, all those ads popping into the feed, it's a frightening future.
All right, so we have some awkward situations that come up.
Yeah, this is a young adult book, so we have those interactions when we were 16.
That's right.
We had some interactions with some people, and some of them were very, very awkward situations. We see M.T. Anderson draws that picture for us very well here, where this kid is unable to communicate with this girl on a level that is not harmful emotionally to her.
Well, that's because we're boys, Steve.
Yeah, it's a boy thing. Yeah.
Girls mature, and boys they delay that maturity.
Yeah, Toys R Us is closing. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Well, anyway, it shows up real... I think he did a real good job showing
Excellent.
That. And obviously they had some challenges during their situation.
Yeah, they decide, as many teenagers do, that they are going to have a sexual encounter. And they go to a place to have this sexual encounter. And it does not go well because of his dumb words that he says, something that makes her emotionally feel awful. And that is a wonderful scene in this book. I really enjoyed his way of writing that awkward situation.
And it's a great example of just how young people are just not emotionally ready for some things. They're mm-hmm. not emotionally ready to connect on that deep level.
Right.
And so they kind of fumble through it. It's the trial and error of youth.
That's life. That's exactly how it goes for almost everybody.
One of the things that happens is because of the technology going down, and because she was introduced to the technology later in life, not at birth,
mm-hmm.
when she was reattached to the feed, it didn't go well.
Right.
She got really, really sick.
Yeah.
And
basically, her body did not work. Her brain could not send the signals because of the break in the feed. She could not move. That's terrifying.
Well, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's a good example of, you know, having a person, an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a person from, I don't know, Central America, South America, who is not part of the American society. How difficult it is
mm-hmm.
when you get here. Like, oh, everything's here. Oh. Okay, but, you know, it's just different. You know, it's just so, it could be overwhelming.
Right.
Imagine, you know, I went from some, I moved to New York City from some area that was very, very rural. It may just be too much, too overpowering for someone.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point of it is she dies.
Yeah.
And not to give away that part.
Yeah, it's spoilers. We probably should have said spoilers at the beginning of this. But yes, we told you to read this book. So if you're listening to this, you better have read this book.
Well, she dies. And his response is just such an amazing response. Because it just shows what the challenges mm-hmm. of being connected through the feed,
mm-hmm.
the internet, Facebook, whatever it is, however you want to talk about it, what the challenges of that is.
Yeah, and when you say amazing, you mean that it is not a good reaction.
No, no.
He does not really get to the sadness of grief in the loss of this person. He's dealing with loss for a moment and then goes right back to the feed and is not really connected to this feeling.
What just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened? He basically, at that point, just, you know, remains plugged in. Off to buy another shirt, Steve.
Yeah. That is the scene that sticks with me in this is he is in the middle of this silence argument with this young lady, and they're in the car together, and the feed says, hey, would you like to buy a shirt? And he buys the shirt in the middle of this argument.
Now, I'm thinking quickly on this Adam Smith's theory of moral sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Russ Roberts, for writing the book about it, because I keep coming back to it all the time.
Yeah.
But it really was a wonderful way of looking at, you know, there's a story Smith told in this book. And then basically the book is like a model of how humans should act, you know, where the Wealth of Nations was on how countries should act.
Maybe. Okay.
But anyway, he talked, there's a story in there about Steve, his wife comes into Steve's study as he's reading his big book that he is reading.
With my pipe and my slippers.
Exactly. Yes. That's if you ever want to know, it's a big, I walk up to
fireplace,
his house, yeah. And he looks like Thurston Howell.
Oh, yeah. Lovey.
Exactly. Anyway, she comes in and says, hey, Steve, did you hear there was a big earthquake in China and, you know, 10,000 people died.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 10,000 people died.
That's awful.
And Steve goes, wow, yeah, sure. That's awful, yeah. Man. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you contemplate for a couple minutes. Maybe think about it a little bit. But then he turns back and starts reading again. Okay? And while you certainly shouldn't take the tragedy of life as like the only thing to carry with you.
Right.
It just shows you just how disconnected you are to humanity, even before the internet,
mm-hmm.
when you recognize something as tragic like that has happened, you know, think about, you know, New Orleans just being wiped out and stuff like that.
It's all during the hurricane.
And he says, this is Smith. Smith says something to the effect of, you know, we have more concern over a hangnail on our little pinky
mm-hmm.
than we do for the, you know, something out
a
there.
Huge tragedy that happened somewhere else to somebody else.
And so this was his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person he was much closer to than what we were talking about with Smith.
Right.
Yeah. And he immediately has the same response.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, just totally disconnected from the tragedy of that moment.
Right. That's the feed. That is what we are working with in the 21st century, where we have all this information and we see all these tragedies. But what can we do about all these tragedies? Can we send money to China when there's an earthquake? Yes, we can. Does that solve the problem? No, it certainly doesn't.
My favorite meme recently was the one where Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. Did you ever see the one where they're talking about Alderaan?
No, go on.
It's so awesome.
It's not in my feed. Go on.
But the meme was, well, what ended up happening was, it was like a Facebook post. And Luke basically says, I'm feeling for the people of Alderaan. For those of you who haven't watched Star Wars, like Steve.
Spoilers.
Alderaan was the planet that the Princess Leia was from. And the Death Star in the first one blew it up,
uh-huh,
right?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
I do remember this, yes. 1977, go on.
Anyway, Princess Leia said, Luke, that's not enough. So at that point, he puts a, you know, like a cover photo over his photo with the Alderaan symbol on it.
He did something.
Exactly.
But seriously, what this kid in feed does is very little. He has very little emotional attachment because the feed is just going on to the next thing for him.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big messages of M.T. Anderson's book.
Do you have any final thoughts on this book?
I really like this book. I read a lot of science fiction. I read a lot of stories that are mirroring what we're doing today. And I get a lot of ideas about what we should and shouldn't do with this technology. I love technology. I love the idea of it. But I absolutely see how being connected to humanity is so important. It's so important to get out and go and be with people.
He really gets in touch with the perversion of reality
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with this. And this is where, you know, kids and adults can get jealousy is not the right word, but it is. They get envious of something. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you see everybody at a party, it looks like they're all having a good time, but they didn't realize that they all set that picture up.
You mean beer ads have been lying to me for the last 30 years?
Hey, stay thirsty, my friend. But really, what I got from it is it's a perversion of reality. Mm-hmm. And there may be a movement eventually that you're not going to totally disconnect. But the technology is going to just kind of ratchet down as importance of your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that ends up happening that, you know, once you're like 500 pounds and you've consumed all you can, and the doctor says, hey, you got to get moving, and you find a new hobby. Mm-hmm. And you take up bicycling or walking or whatever. It just seemed like this is just a good part of just recognizing the addictive part of it. In fact, there's protests going on campuses right now, and kids are basically saying, you've made something so addicting, we've got to ratchet it back. So, wow. So anyway, I recommend this book.
Yep, powerful story.
When you read it, you may...
And short. It's a short story, too.
Yeah, it doesn't take a long time. But yeah. What I will say is that I've thought about this book. Mm-hmm. I read it about a month ago. I thought about it for the month. I keep coming back to it as a reference to kind of put things in perspective. Good stuff.
Perspective. It's all about perspective.
Scroll with it.
What a weekend, Chip.
We had a great weekend.
What a fun time we had at the Indiana Comic Con.
Thank you, Indianapolis.
Yeah. We should go to more conventions. I love meeting people. We met so many interesting people, and let's go again.
If we can bring beef jerky, we can hand it out again.
The beef jerky. Oh, you and the beef jerky.
Well, we're Sasquatches, Steve. What else are we going to carry with us?
This is Mike Heikemper, the writer from Freedom Fighter.
So tell us a little bit about this Freedom Fighter. I know nothing.
Okay, Freedom Fighter is a government-owned and operated superhero. So everything he's involved in, it's a conspiracy, you know. From where he came from, how he was created, who he is behind the mask, that type of stuff. It's all conspiracy-related. We even touch on things like the Roswell crash. And we got some other future conspiracies we're going to go on, like JFK assassinations and stuff. So that's a lot of fun. But we always say it's kind of a mix between 007 and Inspector Gadget. You know, it's nice. Fun, but it's also got a lot of mystery and thriller. Exactly.
Nice. It looks like we have a superhero, and it's a comic book. We currently are on issue 6.
That's right. So, yeah.
And can we find it on Comixology?
Yeah, you can order issues 1-5 on Comixology now. Issue 6 will be on there eventually, because it just came out in print 2 weeks ago, I think. So.
And if you're at C2E2 in Chicago next week, you could meet...
Yeah, we'll be there also at the Insane Comics booth.
Oh, wonderful.
I don't know the booth number right off the top of my head, but just look around.
That's all right.
I'm sure you'll find us.
And tell us a little bit more about the artist that you're working with also.
Yeah, we've got a really super talented art team. AJ Fulcher from San Diego, he does all the penciling. And Ravel Yomo, he does the inking and coloring. He's from the Philippines. They work on all... Ravel works on a lot of stuff. AJ works on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'm just super blessed to have a team that's so good, you know.
Okay. Well, so you write comics, but you also write other works, too. You have some books available.
Right, yeah, we write, I write all kinds of different books, children's books, anything that comes to mind, short stories. You know, some of it, some people wouldn't print, but, you know, I go ahead and do it anyway. And a lot of people enjoy it. So,
you've got this book, Becoming Mortal Gods. Tell us a little bit about that.
Becoming Mortal Gods is a little bit of a historical fiction. It's kind of like what's about is, what if Hitler wasn't trying to create a bomb back in 45? What if he was doing something much more deadly, something much more dangerous? And the story really takes place in modern times. And it's really based on a guy that's searching for his son. He kind of gets entangled in this mystery of what might have happened back in 45 and how somebody's trying to recreate it in today's world. So it's a little twisted.
Can someone find this on the Kindle app?
You can download that on the Kindle. It's available on Amazon and through my website.
Wonderful. So much. In fact, what is your website?
mheikemperbooks.com.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And this is wonderful.
I appreciate y'all stopping by.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
This is Kevin Nichols from BeardedArtist.net.
So tell me all about your art. Tell me where you got started with beardedartist.net.
So pretty much I got started. It was the way my mom got me to sit still when I was like 2 years old. I've just been drawing my whole life. I did do a year at Antonelli College in Cincinnati.
Do a year. Sounds like it was prison.
Yeah, well, college is kind of prison for me, you know. Yeah, the art class was fun, but then all the other stuff, yeah. So, but, yeah, that fine-tuned me a little bit, and I did a drawing of, actually, my wife's father had passed about a month before I met her, and so I hadn't drawn in a while, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a drawing of her dad. Gave it to her for her birthday, and like her whole family was like, oh my God. And then someone else saw it, you know, asked me to do a drawing, and it just kind of snowballed from there. So it's mostly my bread and butter is I do commissions of like people's family members, pets, stuff like that. And then I love doing the shows, obviously.
Stunning drawings. You are a very talented artist.
In fact, you work a lot in grayscale and almost photorealistic.
That's on the card. Yeah, that's a photorealistic portrait artist is what I tote myself as.
Has this always been the style that you've chosen to work in?
Yeah, I did cartoons like back when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of like Looney Tunes, stuff like that, but I just started getting into the realism and kept getting farther and farther into the realism. And yeah.
Well, the work is incredibly detailed, and I think that you know you've got a wide variety of people that you can work with. I mean, you said commissions from family members.
Exactly.
Your commissions from maybe professionals and who want something unique.
Right.
And also, it looks like you do a lot with pop culture, too.
Yes, yeah. Pretty much, I'm a super fan, super nerd for lots of different stuff. So.
Specifically, I see this, the Doc Brown and the Doctor mashup.
Yeah, they call it Race Through Time. They're racing their time machines.
Nice.
But the funny part is like, you don't need to race if you have a time machine. And then don't think about it too hard because it's a paradox. It'll break your brain.
So it's Back to the Future and Doctor Who for the layman out there.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for describing the art for the radio show.
I think that's called mansplaining.
Sometimes we have to kind of break it down to where everyone.
For the people who aren't the nerds. Got it. That's what he means by everyone.
Right.
Well, your work is beautiful. Tell me about your experience here at Indiana Comic Con.
Oh, I love it. I love the cons. I love the costumes. I'm actually having a raffle to win a free drawing for people in their costumes. You know, because it's the most entertaining part to me. Like I could probably miss out on a bunch of sales, like chasing people down. Oh, what's your picture?
There's so much joy in that.
Oh,
the people who get dressed up, who think about what they're going to wear and come out here, there's joy in this room.
And they put so much work and effort and like creativity in the costume. It's joy. That's a good word. Yeah.
Well, it's another one of the wonders here at Indiana Comic Con, and we want to thank them for letting us come here. But we also want to thank you for allowing us to have a few minutes talking to you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin Nichols, beardedartist.net. And check out some of his art. Well, wonderful work. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
This is Jessica Eyes, and I'm the author of Renee, which is available on Amazon.
Tell me all about Renee. I know that there's time travel. I know that we've got some great reviews on the back. So tell me all about Renee.
Okay, Renee is about a woman in her 20s, and she just gets a job in Indiana. It takes place in Indiana. And she moves out here, and she's lonely, and she's a little bit unhappy with her job, and she goes for a run in the woods. She's jogging down the trail, and the trees start to get kind of hazy and funny, and she thinks maybe there's something wrong with her contacts. So she kind of slows down, but then she starts to feel like fever pains all over her body, and she passes out. And 1,000 years in the future, a bunch of scientists are standing in their lab, and this bloody body appears, materializes on the floor of their lab, and they're shocked. And one of the assistants runs forward, and she runs the scanner over the body, and she yells in shock, "It's alive!" And they resuscitate her, and it tells the story of this woman, Renee, who gets pulled 1,000 years into the future from both her perspective and the perspective of the team of scientists who receive her. And it talks about her trials as she tries to survive this future, and what does it mean to us as a person to be pulled out of our time.
And a mirror between the 21st century and...
31st
century, right?
Yes.
So what sorts of themes are we going to find in this book?
There are a few themes. So one of the themes is resilience. Like, how do you... And not resilience like, I'm a superhero and I'm unbelievably brave, but no, I'm a normal human being and I've been pushed into extraordinary circumstances. And how do I live? Right? Because she doesn't... Renee doesn't look like the people in the future. So she looked, you know, she was used to fitting in, like all of us. You know, we feel like we fit in. And then suddenly, in the future, she looks like a freak. And so how is she resilient in the face of that? And then another thing is, it's a bit of a dystopian future. So what theme also is, what does society evolve into? Like, what do we turn into on our current trajectory? And is that better than what we have now? Or is it worse than what we have now? And I tried to make, so it was really important to me when I was writing this dystopian future, not to make it all bad, because that's not realistic. Like, so it's kind of almost mixed. Like, there might be some things you like about it, but some things that seem too extreme. And then they kind of navigate their way through.
I think we got the perfect teaser.
There you go.
And I think we're all ready to sell this to Netflix. Come on now.
So, Jessica Ives, and you can find the book Renee on Amazon. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
As long as your feed's working.
As long as my feed's working and Indiana doesn't have another Comic-Con that tells us to come back.
Oh, I'm sure I can find another convention for us. Let's go. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Or send us an email, TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. You can connect with us through that feed. See how that works? We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and every day of the week. You can find all the information in our news feed, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We'll see you in the future.